I know it's yucky outside, but it is what it is. We're in Indiana, right? So I do want to say it's good to see you. Alicia was here. Yep, Alicia, Brittany. It's nice to see you again, Brittany. See you, and it's good to see you. I have my mom and Gerald here tonight, so it's good to have them too. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about when your faith is being tested, and but I do want to work something through first. I've heard people even from here at times have said that I want to share with you that there is a difference that being when your faith is being, when God is testing, He's not tempting. And there are some people that believe that God tempts and He doesn't. And I want to show you in Scripture, in the book of James, it does tell us that God is not tempting us. So you need to get that out of your head, that God is tempting us. And let's see what the Scripture says. When you're not sure of something, look for it in the Scriptures. And God has a way of showing you what's right and what's wrong. Okay? But the book of James says this in chapter 1, verse 13. No one undergoing a trial should say, I am being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil. And He Himself does not tempt anyone. Hope you got that. But each person is tempted when he is drawn away and enticed by his own evil desires. Okay? So I want us to get that out of the... We want to get that right out at the beginning. God is not tempting anyone. Okay? God is not tempting anyone. Satan may lay some things before you, but it's always inside yourself that Satan is working. But I want to show you tonight, not about temptation tonight, but I wanted you to know the difference, that there is a difference between being tempted and being tested. My time tonight, I want to share with you about being tested. So the last message I believe I preached was in Genesis, and that's where we're going to be tonight, in Genesis chapter 22. One reason I want to talk about this is because Abraham, last time we talked to him, was talking to God about, if there's anyone that is righteous in the city, would you destroy it? And talking about how Abraham was off to the side in the night, wrestling with things about his nephew Lot, where God was doing some work in Lot's life and in Sodom doing it. So this is a very big thing that was going on. But when you walk with the Lord, what you did today, when the day is over, you got a new day in the morning. So this is what I like about that, when God gives us a big view of someone's life, like David's. We see so much there. We see a lot of good things. We see some things that didn't work so well with him. We see his victories. We see his own personal defeats, his struggles. And we see those things, how he wrestled with his pain and sufferings and what was going on in his life. And we're going to see this with Abraham tonight. Chapter 22 is going to be a big test for Abraham. I also want to let you know that God knows you. He knows who you are, what you're about. And God at times tests His children. Every time you have a problem doesn't mean that God is putting a test in front of you. Chapter 22 in Genesis verse 1 says, after these things God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham, here I am. He answered, take your son, he said, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. There's a lot that happens in just these couple of verses. It says that God is going to test Abraham. I know this, and you that have walked with the Lord long enough and know that you've been tested by God, God's tests are never little. They are always big. And they're different for different people. But God doesn't do something without a purpose. When I'm reading these scriptures, I want to remind you that this whole thing is about Abraham's faith, his belief in God, is being tested. It also sounds weird and odd that God would put such a great big test in front of him. I want you to offer your son. What this son represents is a promise that God has given to Abraham that came to be. God told Abraham that he would have a son. If you remember, Abraham and Sarah took a shortcut with Hagar and had a son, Ishmael. And God said, that's not my promise. Abraham and Sarah had a child together, Isaac. And God is calling him to lay his heart out, his most precious piece, before the Lord. But what is amazing that it says in verse 3, Abraham got up early in the morning. Probably had a restless night, but he got up early in the morning processing all that God had said. But there's also something else in here that gives some hope here for Abraham. He says, go to the mountains, and I will tell you, the one I'll tell you about. Basically, he's saying, I'm going to talk to you in a little bit, too. We're going to have a talk a little bit later. But so Abraham got up early in the morning. Scripture doesn't say that he went and told his wife. That's a tough one. But could you imagine if Sarah knew about it? Sarah be holding on to Abraham's legs. You're not taking my son out of here. You're not doing that. You're not going to do that. There'd be a battle right there between them two. So Abraham had to take this thing that God had given to him, put it inside his own heart, not to share it with anybody. He's wrestling with it. I'm sure he's wrestling with it because anyone would. And so he gets all the things that he needs to have for this, and they start this journey, and they're going on this journey. Verse 7 says, then Isaac spoke to his father. So Isaac is his son. He says, Abraham said to him, my father. And he said, he replied, here I am, my son. And Isaac said, the fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac knew about offerings and sacrifices. And he says, where is the burnt offering? Abraham is battling within himself. Remember, sometimes you might watch a movie about it, or you might read it, and it looks like it's not easy. This is a test, which means you come under fire. You got to work through this. The things that when God gives you a test, it's got to be something that's big enough where you have to lean on Him, or you're going to lean on yourself. And you know what you should do. You know you should lean on Him. Abraham is leaning on the Lord. But now, his son is speaking to him. But Abraham answered in verse 8, God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offerings, my son. Then the two of them walked on together. This is the scripture that I wrestle with when I hear other people preach it or teach it. This scripture here. People say, oh, he already knew God was going to supply. Let me tell you, a test is a test. He knows that, but he still has to have faith in that. God will do it. This is not an easy verse. God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. That is all in hope. That is all in faith. Some people believe that's where he passed the test. This is not where he passed the test. A lot of people can say things, but he has to keep moving forward. He's got to keep moving forward. Verse 9, when they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar. That's God, that hadn't been tough. Basically, we're still going through this. Looking for God. Where's he at? He built the altar and he arranged the wood. He put the pile of wood, and then he bound his son, Isaac. And he placed them on the altar on top of the wood. And then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. This is the part where people that don't believe, and they get angry at Christians, say that God is a vengeful, angry, mean, evil God. He's not. He's not. There is no cheating on this test. There's no cheating on this test. There's no help from anyone on this test. God is testing Abraham. Am I your God? Are you going to have faith in me? Are you going to let me be your God? All this. He's seen God work in his life. You've seen God, you that are believers, you've seen God work in your life. I've seen God work in my life, but then sometimes there comes a point as you continue to walk with God. He says, but will you walk with me even further? If you want to walk further, you're going to have to pass this test. We don't like to hear that. I want to remind you, this is not about salvation. Okay? This is about your faith. You're being tested. So the Lord will provide your need, he says. But here we go. He's coming to this place. Man. He bound his son, Isaac. So think about it. He builds the altar. Not passed the test yet. Now he puts his son on there and he binds him and ties him up, puts him on there. And then he puts him on the altar on top of the wood. Didn't pass test yet. God could have come in at any time. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But, verse 11, but the angel of the Lord, that's when he passed the test. The angel of the Lord from heaven said, Abraham, Abraham. And he replied, here I am. Here's something. You ought to know the voice of the Lord. You that are believers, I know some of us are young believers. Get used to it. You need to be sensitive. Pray about it. Know the voice of the Lord. Know when the Lord is speaking. And he says, here I am. Then he said in verse 12, do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know. Not when you said, oh, I'll supply, or God will supply and provide, or when you made the altar, or when you put him on the altar, or any of the other things, but it's when you took the knife and you were ready to do it. He says, now, for now I know that you fear God. Now, do you think Abraham was doing this with a joyful smile on his face? Oh, no. The most nerve-wracking moment of his life was right here. We're going to share a few things here in a minute. I'm telling you this story right now, and then I want to talk about us. That's why I'm going fast, okay? There's some application I really want to share with us tonight. He says, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. That was his test. Will you withhold your son from me? It wasn't just a conversation the night before. It wasn't just on the journey. It wasn't just building all this. It's to the point. God knows when you pass. Not you. Not me. God. And then, verse 13, Abraham looked up and he saw a ram caught in the thicket by its thorns. So Abraham went up and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in the place of his son. And yes, what he said, his hope and faith is in God, that God would provide it, and God provided. But that didn't make it a stroll right up to the hilltop. I'm telling you, it wasn't a stroll. And Abraham named that place, the Lord will provide. So today it will be provided by the Lord's, on the Lord's mountain. So here's what's happening. Here's what I see what's happening. What we see is Abraham is going up a mountain, bringing up the sacrifice where God is taught. He is following what God had called him to do. That's a problem with some of you and I, me and you. We don't like to do what God called us to do. We don't like the journey up the hill. We think it's too hard. We think what God's calling us to is too big. It's always too big when you look at it through your eyes. It's always too big when you say the church will do it. It's always too big when you think you'll do it. It's always too big. But it's never big enough. It's never too big for God. God will always call you to do something bigger than yourself. Because if you could do it on your own, you'd be prideful and say, look what I did. Instead, you could say, look what God did. But as he's going up the mountain, I want to remind you, remember, go back, if you were here on Sunday, go back to the story we were talking about where Abraham was on talking to God and said, God, be talking about Sodom, if there be 10 down there, 10 down there, would you destroy it? No, not if there's 10. And the Lord departs, and he departs, he knows where his heart is. His heart's like, lots down there, his family's down there, right? But he didn't know what was going on down there, that the angels were going to take them out of Sodom. Here's the same thing that God kind of does. They're going up the mountain, but he doesn't understand, I believe, what's happening here. And I guess you could speculate a little bit here that God is bringing up the ram up the mountaintop, because if he was already there, Abraham would have saw it already. But Abraham didn't need to see what God was bringing up the other side. That's the faith. When you're going up on the journey, you're going up on the mountain, you got to have faith that God is doing something on the other side that you can't see. But you have to trust him. Then he saw that ram in the thicket. So I believe as we're going up the mountain, our peace is coming. Our need for provision is coming up on the other side too. You want to go down? It's there. It's over there. But your faith is where it's got to take you. And that comes up to verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time from heaven and said, man, I'm telling you, this is awesome. Just hearing the Lord and the angels speaking to you. Isn't that awesome? He says, by myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. He's speaking. He's saying, this is what the Lord says. Because you have done this thing and not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies. And all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring because you have obeyed my command. I want to tell you, when you pass the test that God has called you to do, the faith test, he always blesses you bigger than your test was. Always. God loves to bless. I can't help but to keep finding blessings in God's word when people are obedient to God. I think it's an amazing piece. Nobody wants to go through this kind of a test. Nobody wants to go through that kind of a test. But God wanted to know, Abraham, are you the real deal? I've blessed you. I've done things for you. And God knows who he is. But he needed to go through that trial, that hard part. He needed to go through there. So I want to share a couple of things with you. The Lord will provide what you need. I think these things is what was going on. This is what this is all about. Will Abraham trust God with a big ask? Will Abraham trust God with that big ask? Will he trust God when he doesn't understand? Would Abraham trust God when it doesn't make sense? Or will he trust God over everyone else? And will he trust God with personal sacrifice and a very personal high cost? So I want to share with you tonight some ways I think God tests our faith. Number one, it's a difficult, hard task. When God calls you to do something that is difficult or a hard task, doing this was a big test for me. Doing this church was a big test for my faith. Several people said, you're never going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it, not going to make it. I'm so glad I listened to those voices, but I listened to the voice better. There were a couple that I even went to the side and said, Lord, I may not know how to pray this, but I want, if they are going to be hindrances to me, will you just take them away? Take them away. If you called me to preach, just get them out of my way, because I don't know what I'm doing and they're going to be a hindrance to me, because I think I'm going to listen to more negative than I am positive, because that's my flesh side in those days. And God took some out of there that was being as very, very negative. But a hard, difficult task. Did you hear me when I said when you pass the test, He blesses? And I will tell you this. We started off with a rental key, and now we have 7 ownership keys. Don't tell me God doesn't bless. Another way that God tests our faith is a major change in your life. A call, a shift, a change in direction, and maybe in what you do in ministry. That's a test where you trust Him. And He doesn't always show you what's around the corner on your other side of the hill or what's behind the door. He tests us by saying, listen to my voice. As He said, Abraham, He said, Abraham. And Abraham said, here I am. And maybe some of your ministries have changed, like Carl's has changed. Carl doesn't pastor a church now. But He does so over a flock of men in a home. It's a test of our faith. Will we trust God with the steering wheel of leading our life instead of us doing? We'll follow God when it only looks and feels good to me. And a lot of people do that. A lot of people in ministry do that. Sometimes people think if you start and you preach, if you pastor a church of whatever number it is, 150, and you go down to 50, that you're not a very good pastor. That's not true. That the guys that go from 1 goes to 50 to 150 are better preachers. That's not true. That's the world's thinking. God says, will you trust me? I got a test in front of you. And what it was, this test for him was what he loved the most, what his peace was. This also represents that God, listen, there's nothing God will call a man to do that. You sacrifice your son. God did sacrifice his son. Where he told Abraham not to. He just wanted to know if Abraham would. And Abraham would. But God went through with it and allowed his son to be sacrificed. Wow. God is amazing. But a major change in your life or your ministry can be a temptation where you've been doing something for so long, and sometimes God wants to make a change in your life, your work, your ministry, whatever it may be, and he's going to test you through that. You might have to give keys up to something. You might have to give something up, and you're like, I don't know what the person is going to do with it after I get done, after I walk away. Don't look back. Wish him luck, bless him, and go forward. If you keep looking back, you'll never know where God's leading you. And God wants to lead a lot of people. And sometimes, well, we're going to get there. Waiting, waiting, and waiting. There's a gap. There's a gap between what God has moved you from to a gap where God is taking you to. And sometimes in that is, it's going to be easy when you get there, but the test of your faith is not when you get there. It is the patience that you're going to need. It's the part where you got to trust God patiently, waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. I don't mean to bring Carl up again, but I'm going to bring him up again because he's a great example. Pastoring a couple of years before he even came here, there was a big gap, and you can become not sure if God wants to use you anymore. But you keep the faith. You keep working that faith, and it comes up to be different than what you think. And let me remind you, success is not what the world says. Success is just being obedient to God. And sometimes, folks, listen, being obedient to God sometimes is hard. Because sometimes it's just, really, God? Really? Really a pastor's wife? Really? Really? She saw me looking at her. Number 4, an unsolved problem. This one takes patience. An unsolved problem when God is testing your faith. So we have a problem and we get to that place where we're like, this is a problem, Lord, and you feel like he's not hearing it, he's not listening. Let me tell you, the first time, he even knew the problem before you spoke it, really. But I believe sometimes when we get in there, it's like, Lord, I got this problem, and you keep talking to him about it. Here, I think the devil says he's tired of hearing it. And I think God is saying, I love this time you and I spend together. You're really talking about what's on your heart. What's really important to you. Instead of going through a drive-thru, I kind of allowing this to keep allowing this to be there for you so that we can spend some time together. But Satan's always saying, God's not listening. How many of y'all been there? God's not listening. Well, what am I doing wrong? Sometimes I think dark side puts in our ears, what are you doing wrong? I'm doing something wrong. You must be doing something wrong. What are you doing wrong? You're not a very good believer. You're messing up. God's done with you. So I think sometimes it's unsolved problems. Our faith is being tested in those unsolved problems. A hard one is number five. When you have someone in your family possibly that's sick for a long time, or you're going through something that is personally with something going on with one of your children or grandchildren or within your family, whatever it is, it's a prolonged pain and agony. Those are the hardest. You don't understand why the person's going through pain. You don't understand why your loved one's got to go through that. And this is a part of life, but God uses it sometimes to test your faith. Five people can be involved in it, but God's choosing one to test the faith. Are you still going to believe in me when things in your life are not going right? You're going to believe you're going to worship me. Can you worship me with a broken heart or a sad heart? There's people today that are worshiping Jesus tonight somewhere. So many are praising him, and he's deserving of praise with a happy heart. But there are some tonight that are trying to figure out how to praise him with a broken heart. A loss of a loved one. Somebody getting, a young kid getting killed in a car wreck. And God didn't make that happen, but he'll use that sometimes and say, listen, do you love me? You gotta trust me with it. It's hard sometimes. Faith tests are not easy, but there is a purpose. Number seven, a loss that makes no sense. I thought I was good at my job. Why did I get let go? Why did the plant close? I don't understand it. A loss that makes no sense. Don't have any understanding on it. And number eight is persecution. People today, their faith is being tested by persecution. We don't get it so much here. But overseas, there are some places, especially in North Korea, is the number one place to be persecuted as a believer. You have China, you have some other places. You can be persecuted over in the Middle East for it. And the faith is being tested. I want to ask you tonight, really, think about it. Has your faith ever been tested? And when you went through it, could you see God in there, even though you didn't? You felt like you couldn't feel him. You didn't realize that. I mean, it's very lonely sometimes when you're going through a faith test. You feel like you're alone. But I want to remind you that you're not. How do we know that? How do we know that? It's over here. If we draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to us. God will never leave us nor forsake us. Our first banner that we ever had was this one here. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. You know what hardens our hearts sometimes? The situation, whatever it may be. Test of our faith is going to happen. I've had many times where my faith has been tested. When God called me to preach, I said, oh, Lord, do you know who I'm married to? I said, oh, Lord, do you know who I'm married to? And God just said, I know her better than you. And I had to trust God with that. And I'm proud of what Carla does here. And it was hard at times. People beat her up. People said things, ugly things, things I never told her what I heard other people say. But I trusted God with all of that, all these years. And He's been faithful, and God has been beautiful. And I think part of the blessing that God's giving to me and Carla here, I just feel like sometimes we're in a little bubble that He's just kind of protected us. And I'm so thankful that I don't have a church that beats us up, people just cutting us, never shared. Going home sometimes and just knowing, man, people can be so mean and brutal. There's some times when you want to get in the car and you go, God, I don't want to go back. You know, it's just the way that it was. But, you know, you grow in your walk with Him and you start climbing up that mountain and you're not sure. But, you know, when you get up there, you know, that's where you meet God at. That's where you meet God at. And I know some people's went through some things. I know you have, Phil, at the churches you have. I know, Jeremy, you have where you're at, you know, and God's through all that. And sometimes we can think, this isn't just about preachers, don't get me wrong. I mean, and I always want to say, even pastors' wives, if some of you, you're going to have some really hard tests. And I want to tell you, you can do it, but you can only make it through. The test, when you only can make it through, is with Jesus at your side. That's it. Because it wouldn't be a test if you didn't need Jesus in it. So it's got to be, it's a forced moment. If you let Him, it's a moment where you have to give up the steering wheel. You have to be like the 3-year-old kid that runs and jumps off the bunk bed, catch me, Dad. And you have 100%. You're still a little shaky, but I'm going to trust you, God. That's the awesome God that we have. But it doesn't mean it doesn't come with some times of testing. And some of you guys that's in the house, I say, I don't want to put anybody, you know, like on the spotlight on our Sunday mornings, but this is kind of our home group. You guys that's in the house, there's been times you've been tested by someone that offers you something that you know is not good for you. And that's temptation. That's not a test. But God also can turn some things and make it a test. My test for you would be for someone to come to this house. I'm going to test you with your faith. It's going to be hard. There's going to be a couple people coming in here. It's going to make this house a little uneasy. But I'm testing you. Will you trust me not to go back? I think tonight we need to realize that testing is not just a one-time deal, but that it happens. You have to trust God with it. And if you don't, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. And you're not going to struggle easy. It's going to be hard. Because you can't be the Christian God wants you to be when you're living life your way. Let's have a moment and let's go ahead and we'll stand right now. Let's have a moment where we can come, if you want to come, and you can want to come, and you want to pray, and you feel like something like, Lord, I don't like what's happening in my life, but I know that I'm fighting. You know when you're fighting God, right? Come on now, you know when you're fighting God. Let go. Just say, here I am. God, can we start over? I'm done trying to lead. Remember, when he was going to the mountain, it looked like Abraham was leading, but he was not leading. God said, go. God was leading. And God was already there. It's time to trust. But God, you say you serve. Let's close our eyes, bow our heads, and you do whatever God is moving upon you tonight.
Hope you're glad you're in the house of the Lord this evening. Hope to see you tomorrow evening. It'll be a good time. Remember, doors open at 6. Auction starts at 6:30.
See all your happy faces tonight. What's up, Jeremy? You good? He's all happy tonight. All right, good to see Doug and Lori here tonight. So let's lift those hands up tonight because we're unashamed of the gospel. Lord, we love you and we thank you, Lord, for just being